Soulja Boy Tell.
Hello and welcome to the Tiger's Den. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Tiger's Den, the official LSU podcast of the Dome Patrol United Network. I am your host, Scott. I guess I'd first like to start off by apologizing for not having a show last week. I had some sickness in my body and wasn't feeling great. Starting to feel better. As you can probably hear, I'm a bit nasally, but wanted to definitely get a show in because there's a lot going on right now. If you haven't noticed, hopefully you have, but this is going to be a LSU baseball heavy show for obvious reasons, and we'll get to that in a second. I will be doing a very heavy LSU football show in the very near future because they have had a lot of recruits visit. They've offered a lot of scholarships to people. We will definitely do that very soon. And I'll have my friend Dustin on to cover all of that. But to start, we are going to start, like I said, with LSU baseball. LSU baseball, do you hear it? Do you hear that sound in the background? It's time to celebrate. It's celebration time. The Tigers of the LSU baseball team are on a roll right now, and there's so much to get into and so much to celebrate. I'm excited. I hope you are too. If you're an LSU fan, LSU baseball fan, this is an extremely exciting time for many, many reasons. We're going to actually kind of travel back in time a little bit to get you caught up to where we are now. So right now, let's travel back in time. I'm going to do my travel back in time noise. That's my travel back in time noise. And we're going to travel back in time and go all the way back to LSU in the SEC tournament. Last time I spoke with you guys, LSU was playing Georgia in the SEC tournament in game one. I was hoping they would win that game, but they did lose 4-1 in that game. Obviously, that first round in the SEC tournament, like we talked about, was single elimination. So they were out right there. And what was concerning at the time was, you know, we had 13 SEC wins. Was that going to be good enough to get us into a regional? So that was the big concern at the time. And we were waiting to see how that was going to turn out. So it was about this time that a big announcement was made. Paul Maneri announced that he was going to retire as LSU's head baseball coach at the end of the season. The timing of this announcement, you know, some people say that, oh, he knew this all season. He just didn't want a farewell tour and, you know, whatever. That might be the case. I don't know. I think the timing of it was probably done on purpose just so that they maybe would have a little sympathetic ear with only 13 wins trying to get into the regional tournament. Maybe they give him one last shot. But for whatever reason, he decided to wait and announced it after they were booted from the SEC tournament. So, you know how I feel about Maneri. I've never been shy about my dislike for him. I am glad that he went out this way, that he wasn't fired. And, you know, it could have been a thing, too, and I don't know, that maybe he saw the writing on the wall and was like, you know, I don't want to get fired, so I'm going to retire. He said, I believe, in his press conference that he had decided that he was going to do this all along. I guess I'll just take his word for it that that's the truth. But definitely the announcement, the timing of it was interesting to say the least. But so he's out. at the end of the season as the head coach. I'm not going to be the one to sit here and give this long tribute to Mannary like everybody else has been doing. I'm glad he's leaving. I think it was time for him to go. And that's just how I feel about it. I think the game had kind of passed it by, and apparently he'd been having health issues for the last 3 years, with chronic neck pain and headaches. If you're having issues, health issues like that, why not retire 3 years ago? I don't understand why you wait so long to do what you're doing, but he did, and whatever, that's his decision. I'm glad, like I said, I'm glad he's leaving. I've always said, look, he's a nice guy, okay? Everybody has said how nice of a guy he is, how available for interviews he is. And a lot of these reporters that are in Baton Rouge or have personal relationships with him, and obviously they're not going to sit there and badmouth the guy, but at the end of the day, he has a job to do, and that's to win games. His job is not to be a nice guy. Nick Saban's not a nice guy, but Nick Saban wins football games. And if you could have Nick Saban as your head football coach, you'd take him pretty much 9 times out of 10 or 10 times out of 10. Skip Bertman was a nice guy, but Skip Bertman won baseball games. Now, I know Mannary's won 1,500 games, but it's not always the wins, it's when you get them. As evident from what we'll talk about in a few minutes with the regional, it's when you get the wins. If you could have 1,500 wins, but they're all regular season wins, you never make it to the postseason, or you make it to the postseason and you get bounced, every year early, which has what has been happening to Mannary. They keep making it to the postseason and they get bounced early. So look, he's a nice guy. I'm sure he's a great guy. Les Miles is a nice guy too. Obviously, he has issues there. But the bottom line is you got to win games. And I really think the game had passed him by. Some of the things he was doing and continues to do with tinkering with the lineup, I don't know. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. You almost want consistency at this level, at least somewhat. Obviously, as injuries come up, you have to make changes, but he seems to like throwing out new lineups like he changes his underwear. So, speculation as to who the next head coach will be. Obviously the big name out there that most people are talking about is O'Sullivan from Florida. I don't know. I've heard a couple of things. I've heard like he has the job, it's his. But then also Florida just got bounced from their regional. So I don't know. So you don't know if that affects how they feel about him or if, the paperwork is done. Look, if it's true that Mannary was going to retire the whole time, you have to imagine Scott Woodward has done his due diligence and found someone that he wanted to target. There are some issues that have come up recently from O'Sullivan as far as extramarital affairs, things like that. Obviously, that's personal stuff, but LSU has got so much just stuff they're already dealing with in this general area that do you really want to bring that into the program? I don't know. Another name I've heard is Vitello, who's a coach at Tennessee. I like him. I think he would be a good fit. He's a young guy. I think he's only like 42. So he could really be there for the next 20, 30 years, to be honest. And then I've also heard the coach from Louisville, whose name escapes me right now. It's O something. But I've also heard he's a candidate. So you're going to hear all these rumors until it's official. Believe what you want. Don't believe what you want. I think Scott Woodward will do the best, obviously, for LSU. He likes bringing in high-named, big-name coaches. If you look at Kim Mulkey hire, that obviously was a big splash and a big name, and that seems to be Woodward's MO that he likes to bring in the big names. Sometimes the big names are big for a reason, and sometimes they're not. So we'll talk about more that about that more when the decision is made. But I really, just from seeing what I've seen, I really like the Tennessee kid coach. I think he would be good. I say kid, he's my age. I think he would be a very good asset. And apparently teams have tried to get him away before, but he's never wanted to leave Tennessee. From what I hear, LSU is one school that he would leave Tennessee for. So I guess we'll see. Also, for O'Sullivan, a lot of people are like, well, why would he want to leave there? Florida baseball, they just built in this huge, new, expensive, multi-million-dollar ballpark, and basically they have no support. They're a good team. They're in a good situation. I mean, one would say maybe a better team than LSU. I don't know. They already got bounced, so they were the number one team coming into the season this year. But there's no fan support there. Nothing like he would see if he came to LSU. But with that, and he's probably get more money to come to LSU, but with that, you also are going to have higher expectations. Skip Burtman set the bar high. And whoever comes into this job, people are going to expect to go to Omaha every year. That's just LSU baseball, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's the same thing I'm sure Alabama fans feel with their team, or LSU feels with their football team. You're always trying to get to that championship, and there's nothing wrong with that. We like winners, and that's what we want. So we will see how it goes. So Maneri announces his retirement. We are happy about that. We end up finding out that we are going to be in the Oregon regional. In that regional is us, Gonzaga, Central Connecticut State, and Oregon, of course. Oregon is a, they got the regional to travel all the way out there. I honestly thought that we would probably get the Notre Dame regional just because Maneri used to coach at Notre Dame and they might send him there for the swan song. I'm kind of glad they didn't because Notre Dame has just been ripping the cover off the ball in their regional. I mean, they're getting double-digit runs every game. So it's probably good that we didn't go to that regional. I think the regional we went to was a tough regional, but it wasn't out of the question that we wouldn't win it. If I was a betting man, I would have said no, we wouldn't win the regional. Just based off of how LSU played in the SEC tournament, the pitch and how they played at the end of the season. The pitching has been pretty good on point, especially from the bullpen, but the bats hadn't really been there and come around. But it's important for a team, especially in baseball, to get hot at the right time. Like we talked about, it's not necessarily the number of wins, it's when you get the wins, right? So we went into the regional. First game was against Gonzaga. We lose 3-0. And it's like, oh God, here we go again. No offense. Marceau pitched, pretty well in the game. We only gave up 3 runs. That's for LSU, that should be manageable. He gave up 2 runs in the second and then gave up 1 run in the sixth. So it should be manageable. Now, the pitcher for Gonzaga was just nasty. Alec Jacob, I wouldn't say he was a jump ball pitcher. He has a very weird release point. And then also his motion, sometimes he pauses in the middle of his motion, sometimes he doesn't. So it's a very strange pitching motion that we couldn't get a handle on. I don't think anybody, no one on our team had more than one hit. We only had 4 hits total. Obviously when you get into a regional, that ain't gonna work. Marceau pitched 5 2/3, gave up 7 hits and gave up all 3 runs. Hasty came in, Wittmeyer came in, and Floyd came in and pretty much shut him down the rest of the way. So again, another good job by the bullpen. Again, also another kind of start, a good start by Marceau, kind of wasted because we couldn't hit the ball. So, a lot of people's minds, and I'll be honest, look, my mind included. I was, even at the beginning when we got the regional, I was questioning as to if we should even make a regional, why we would even want to go, because I didn't want us to embarrass ourselves the way we had been playing. It was not good. And you get to this Gonzaga game and you're like, oh crap, we're doing the same shit we were doing before. So We go into the Central Connecticut State game. So, for those that don't know, regionals double elimination tournament. So we're now in the losers bracket. You always want to win those first two games. Those are the biggest two games because that way you get in the winners bracket, and it's less games you have to play. It's less on your pitching staff. LSU had not lost a first round regional since 1985. Now think about that for a second. 1985, they had not lost a first round regional game. Some of you maybe listening to this weren't even born yet. I was 8 years old. So for it to happen, or 7 years old, for us to lose that game, it was just like, man, we're snake bit. This is it for Mineri. And to our credit, we went in against Central Connecticut State, and we fought hard. We end up winning that game 6-5 in extra innings. The one thing that really sucked, well, I'll get back to the regional as a whole. But we did win 6-5 in extra innings. This was the game that DiGiacomo got a walk-off single up the middle to push us over the top and to win the game. So he got the hit to put us over the top and win the game. Mikel Hilliard started the game. He pitched four innings, gave up six hits, five runs. So it wasn't a great start for him. Garrett Edwards came in and pitched five solid innings and really sucked up a lot during that game. And then Fontenot came in to pitch the last inning to get the win. It was good to only use three pitchers in this game because if you're going to come through the losers bracket, you're going to have to, excuse me, have a deep bullpen and pitch a lot of people. So we win that game 6-5. It was an exhilarating game. Dylan Cruz, man, during this tournament, Dylan Cruz has been hitting some just missiles. He had two home runs in this game. He is just crushing the ball. And, the hitting's coming around now. You start to see it coming around a little bit. After the first game, obviously, we were worried. Hitting really kind of started to come around a little bit. Bianco got in on it, hit a double down the line, got two RBIs, and really kind of helped fuel us along. Hitting, Dylan Cruz was 3-for-4. Trey Morgan was 2-for-5. Zach Arnold was 3-for-4. Jordan Thompson was 2-for-4. So, like I said, you could kind of see the hitting starting to come around. We go back to we ended up Gonzaga was in the winners bracket versus Oregon. They lost. Central Connecticut State, that was an elimination game, so Central Connecticut State is out. We're now playing an elimination game against Gonzaga. We end up winning that game 9-4. This game was played early on Sunday. And if you won this game, you were going to have to play Oregon again later that night. So you were going to have a doubleheader. LSU wins the game 9-4. Let's see. AJ Labus pitched this game, pitched a really, a decent game. Labus was one that you were kind of worried about because he was out of our three starters, he was the weakest one coming into the regional. He had really gotten bombed the past few games. He really sucked up a lot of innings, went eight innings. Look, at the beginning of the game, they jumped out, and I really thought Labus wasn't going to last very long. Let's see. They jumped out 2-0, then we went up 4-2, and then kind of never looked back. I really didn't think once. I thought once they scored those two runs on Labus in the first, maybe he would settle down. But then I also thought maybe he won't last this game very long. But he did. Eight innings pitched, six hits, four runs, and Wittmeyer came in the last inning to get the save. In this game, obviously, again, we scored 9 runs. The hitting came through yet again. Dylan Cruz 3-for-5. Zach Arnold 2-for-4. Trey Morgan 2-for-5. Again, Dylan Cruz just was ripping the cover off the ball. And then this game again, Dugas started to come up. He had a triple to left center, and he started. Excuse me, Dugas really started to come around in this game. Zach Arnold homered in this game as well. So you could start to see the hitting come around. So we beat Gonzaga. Gonzaga's out at this point, so it's us and Oregon. So we play Oregon in the nightcap. Obviously, playing two games in one day wears you out, especially when the other team didn't have to play two games in one day. But LSU was able to come in and win 4-1. It was curious as to who they were going to start for this game. Vittmeyer actually ended up starting. He pitched only one inning. He had pitched the previous game, obviously, to get the save. So he threw one inning the previous game. I want to say maybe 20 pitches. And so he came in and started this game. He only went one inning, but he did what he needed to do was to get us off to a good start. Ben McDonald often says during the broadcast that the first inning is absolutely the hardest inning for a pitcher to get through. And it's true. And so to get him out there, to get Vittmeyer out there and get us through the first inning was really a big help. Javon Coleman, I can't say enough about this kid. He is a freshman. He came in the second inning and sucked up six innings, gave up three hits and one run. He just came out and killed it. And can't say enough about our bullpen and how well they pitched in this game, not just in this game, but just throughout the end of the season and into the regional. The bullpen has just been phenomenal. And then Devin Fontenot came in and pitched two innings to get the save. In this game, Dylan Cruz hit another home run. Gavin Dugas hit a home run. Now, Dugas also hit, look, they said it was a triple with an error on the throw. I'm going to call it an inside the park home run because it would have been a tough play at the plate either way. But basically, he had an inside the park home run. So, you could see, like I said, hitting coming around more. Dylan Cruz is like knocking the cover off the ball. Gavin Dugas is now coming on, and the Tigers are rolling. They really are. So that sets up the championship game, which was last night, again versus Oregon, because you have to beat them twice because you're coming through the losers bracket. And just what a great game it was last night. It was back and forth constantly. It was one of those nerve-wracking games. Mineri had to kind of pull together the bullpen. We used a lot of pitchers. Hilliard just actually started the game. He only threw an inning. Then he brought in Floyd. Floyd looked horrible. He didn't have a command on his curveball. All he was throwing was fastballs, and Oregon's a fastball hitting team. He gave up two runs. Fowler eventually came in, gave up three runs. Helmers came in for two innings. Garrett Edwards came in for two thirds, and then Landon Marceau. They brought Marceau back through the last two and a third inning. Marceau just came in and did a great job. He ended up getting the win. Well, I guess I kind of spoiled alert. I don't know if I had said it, but LSU did win the game 9-8. It was just a back and forth game all night. There were a lot of home runs hit. Dugas hit another home run, two home runs. Bianco hit a home run. And it was kind of like I said, it was back and forth. Oregon actually ended up having a balk in the late innings, in the eighth inning, and we scored a run, the go-ahead run, off of a balk. It was just kind of one of those games where you knew something crazy was going to happen, and like I said, it was back and forth all game. We were up 2-0 after the first, then they came back, it was 2-2, then they were up 4-2, then they were up 5-2, then they were up 5-4, then we got up 6-5. Then they went up 7-5, and then we went up 9-7, and then they scored a run in the ninth, and we won 9-8. Just the regional as a whole, kind of like I said, just improbable that LSU would get hot at this time. Very happy they got hot at this time. And the pitching staff and the bullpen has really come through in the clutch. The team has just gotten hot hitting wise. I hope this continues onto the Super Regional. The Super Regional will be versus Tennessee. Tennessee is the number three team in the tournament. The tournament will start Saturday, June 12th. Gosh, I can't talk. June 12th, this Saturday, 6 p.m. on ESPN2. It is a best two out of three series. So they will play Sunday at 11 a.m. or 2 p.m. I guess that depends on some other regionals. It will either be on ESPN2 or ESPNU. And then, if necessary, they will play Monday at 3 or at 6. Same on ESPN2 or ESPNU. The Oregon regional as a whole, it was kind of an odd regional there. Since it's in on the West Coast, it had capacity limits. A lot of LSU fans did travel. It was great to see and hear them on the TV. I'm looking forward to, you know, getting to Tennessee where it'll probably be a packed house. Interestingly enough, we did get swept by Tennessee earlier this year at Tennessee. However, I will say that two out of the three games went extra innings, and those two games we only lost by one run, and then the other game we only lost by two runs. So if LSU can keep the hitting up, there's no reason why we couldn't make a run at this. Obviously, I think the team is inspired by the announcement of the Mannering retirement. That's always inspirational. And you're feeling at this point like a big underdog. And that's also inspirational as well. So we'll see what the Tigers can do. It will be an interesting regional. You know, Mannering was on off the bench this morning and kind of talked about the regional earlier this season, and that the Tennessee fans were just very rowdy. At times, he said they were a bit nasty, especially towards Trey Morgan. For some reason, they kind of focused in on him. It was our, I believe it was our first SEC, it was our first SEC, road SEC series earlier in the year. So, expect a hostile environment. I do think, obviously, that LSU fans will travel. They're not going to travel really during the regular season, but they will travel during the postseason to Tennessee. So expect, you know, hopefully a pretty large LSU contingent there, but also expect Tennessee to have a lot of people, fans there too. Obviously, it's their home field, and it's going to be a rowdy. It's going to be a rowdy time. It's going to be a rowdy crowd. So we will see how they do. I'm looking forward to these games. One thing I'm definitely looking forward to, going back to the Oregon Regional, man, all the games were pretty much at 9 o'clock at night. And it was just, it was so rough staying up. Last night I was up till 12:30. I actually fell asleep at one point, and my wife woke me up and said, "Turn the TV off, you're snoring." And I was like, "Hold on, no." I woke up and finished watching the game. But having these West Coast Regionals was killing me. As you can hear, I'm not feeling that great, and just staying up that late just wears on you. So I'm glad these games will be at a decent hour, and just look forward to seeing what the Tigers can do. One note that I forgot to mention, Giovanni DiGiacomo did at the beginning of the regional play, I think he re-injured his hamstring, so he was pulled. Bianco has been starting in center. I always get Beloso and Bianco mixed up for some reason. I guess their names are just kind of close. But anyway, Bianco has been starting in center. So look for that to probably continue unless Gio can maybe get some treatment. Hopefully you can get him back, because obviously he is a good bat to have in the lineup. He's got the speed out in center field. Look, Bianco stepped up and did a tremendous job in center field. He also did a tremendous job. He played second base at one point during the series. You know, that first game, Mannering, of course, wanted to tinker with the lineup, and he put Stafford at second. Stafford hadn't played at second. First of all, Stafford's a freshman. Second, he hadn't played at second but one other time in the season, and that was in March. So why all of a sudden do you put him into a regional starting at second? Like, it made no sense at all whatsoever. And the balls just ate him up at second. You know, he had a lot of errors, and he was, I think, 0 for 2 or 0 for 3 in that game. So it didn't work out. You know, Mineri always likes to tinker. To his credit, he did change the lineup. I think he, I mean, he knew he had to because it was just horrible. But he did change the lineup, and, you know, we went out from there forward. Hopefully, he doesn't start tinkering again, and he just goes with the basic, you know, lineup that we like. And we can get out of the Super Regional and head to Omaha. You know, that's the goal. And we're an underdog Cinderella team at this point. Tennessee has got a very good team. Obviously, they're having their own Super Regional, and they're a third-ranked team in the country. So we'll see what they can do. So let's go Tigers, right? Anyway, that is all the show we have for you right now. We want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Don't Patrol United Network. We only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the Two Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Don't Patrol Podcast, the BS and Beer Saints Podcast, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League Podcast, Taking It Over with Billy Gunn, and of course, the Tiger's Den, which you're listening to now. Follow each show on Twitter at Don't Patrol PCast, at Don't Patrol UK, at BSN Beer Media, at Taking the Over, and at Tiger underscore Podcast. Follow us on Facebook for live streams. Just search for Don't Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to don'tpatrolpodcast.com. Thank you for listening, and we will see you on the other side. Good night, Tiger Nation.
Hey, fighting Tigers, fight all the way. Hey, fighting Tigers, win the game today. You've got to know how you're doing fine. Hang on to the ball and you hit the wall and smack right through that line. You gotta go for the touchdown. Run up the score. Make Mike the Tiger stand right up and